want to see you be brave and let the words fall out and not to be silent. And when I think about words, I think about words are very powerful. And the words that I think of in that song are words of truth. Not always easy. And truth with others, truth with ourselves, and truth with the capital T of the divine, the spiritual truth that is beyond the appearances that we sometimes face. And so we've been talking this month, last Sunday of the month, we've been talking about our spiritual ability or power of. Well, I got three people. I've had three people in this room. I'm just teasing you. Not really. The power of power. And so far this month, we've covered spiritual mastery or self-mastery. And that's being able to take command of our thoughts. Because we can have a mind and we can have thoughts. But we don't want our thoughts and our mind to have us. We get to have control and say so about what words we're saying, what we're thinking. We can go cancel. What would I choose instead? It was about choosing a different thought because we have that power. We can't have power outside of ourselves, but we have an inner power that I'm looking for us, or my inspiration is to activate that within myself and to have all of you join me in that venture. We have spiritual authority, which was 2 weeks ago, and that is when you know who you are, and that is principle number two, you are the divine in expression. When we have embodied that, our spiritual authority means that we don't question truth. We live from a higher viewpoint. We are able to see things from the eagle view, instead of the little grub on the ground or the butterfly versus the caterpillar. We see it, and then we can come from that higher spiritual authority. Last week, what was our topic? Focus, I heard one person. Anybody practice? Okay, were they focused? How many of you did any spiritual practice on focus? Did it make a difference? Some of you said yes, okay, great. See, I give you things because in a 20-minute, approximately 20, 25-minute talk, you get fed so much. But what are you feeding yourself the rest of the week? That's why I give spiritual practices, exercises. Some people write and take notes in order to apply. That is my intention, that something that I say today makes a difference in your life, that it makes an important difference. So today I just want to start with a question. Have you ever created something, built something, made something? Okay, I should see everybody's hand. We've all made things, created things. And there's two elements to building or creating or making something. One of them is the ingredients or materials, and the other is the tools to put the materials or the ingredients together, right? So, for instance, building a house, what type of materials would you need? Wood, glass, concrete, nails, screws, tight. Okay, you got the. What type of tools might you use? Hammer, drill, saw. Okay, you're with me on this. Good, so far, so good. So, let's say you want to make a meal. Depends on what meal it is, what would be the ingredients. So let's say you want to make a pizza. What are the ingredients for your pizza? Dough, sauce, cheese, tomatoes, pepperoni, whatever. Yeah, you can put whatever on there, pretty much, toppings. So how about healthy relationships? What were the ingredients for a healthy relationship? Self-awareness, trust, patience, love, listening, understanding, forgiveness, communication. Okay, I think you're on target here. So we have the ingredients of such. Now what I'd like you to do, take a breath and think of something that you would like to create. What would you like to create for yourself? You might go within just to ask yourself, what is it I would like to create or have in my life now? Maybe it's greater health, greater wealth, more friends, more love, a love partner, greater peace, understanding, clarity. Choose one thing. When you have that one thing, nod your heads. Okay. I see the people online nodding too. I have great imagination. So now you have this in mind, right? And the first thing in creating, and by the way, the one thing that we have in common before I go on is that in any thing that we form or create, there's one element that is the same in all of it. That one element is God or the divine. No matter what form it takes, the piano is divine in expression. It is a divine piano. The chairs you're sitting on are divine chairs in expression. The floor, the building, the air, the sun, the moon, the stars. I am a divine being in expression, and so is every person here. That is principle number one in unity. So here's the thing. As human beings, we are made in what? The image and likeness of the great creator, which means one thing. We cannot not create. Whether you see yourself as creative or not, we are continually creating by our thoughts, by what we focus on. We are continually creating. So back to that, you have something in mind that you want to create for yourself that may have been challenging to create up until now. Identify it. You've done that. So as a great creator that you are, now we need the inner ingredients. There's inner ingredients, because we're talking about in metaphysical, what are the inner ingredients needed to create this experience or thing that you would like to have? The first thing is something we studied in January. January, I know, was a long time ago. It is the imagination. Once you've identified what it is you'd like to create, because without identifying, it was kind of like setting your intention. Without an intention, you're going to be willy-nilly. Without an idea, a thought of what you'd like to create for yourself. So you've got your idea. Now we need to add the element, the ingredient of imagination. We need to see it. And more importantly, we need to feel it. It is the vibration of what it feels like in the imagination. To have that greater health, to have that love, to have that inner peace, to have that clarity, to have that purpose. You want to feel what it feels like. So now you've got your ingredient, you've got your imagination going, right? And you're stirring it up. We want to add energy to this, okay? Because you can have a picture, but you're needing the enthusiasm to continue. Now, we studied this ingredient in the month of July. Starts with a Z. Zeal. How many words are there in the Z's, right? Zeal. To add the energy of enthusiasm, because that's where your energy is. You got to have some energy and passion and energy for this thing that is coming into being. Or we're going to call it with the third inner ingredient. Oh, it's already so. So this is the ingredient, and it starts with an F. Faith, very good, because faith is the evidence of things not seen, and the things that you believe that it's already there. Now that's the challenge. Can you believe and act and feel, again, that's a very important word, to feel what it feels like when it's not there? Because our world is created from the inside out, not the outside in. So you've got your inner ingredients. You've got identified what you want. Spending time in your imagination, seeing it and feeling it is so. You're getting your energy up because it is already so. It's already there. And you feel it and you go, wow, that's how, because really, it's not the thing. It's what you feel is what we really are after. Now, I want that really super awesome car, right? Well, what would I feel? It's not the car I want, it's the feeling that I would get when I'm in a relationship or I have all the money that I would like to have for all the things I'd like to do. It's the feeling. So if you feel the feeling before you have the thing, that's the key. You want to feel what it feels like before you have it. Then it doesn't matter if you have it. And the great thing is that it actually shows up because this is the law. So you've got these three ingredients, your imagination, your zeal, and your faith. Very good. So now that you have these, we need the tool to put them together, right? We need a tool. And there's two kinds of tools. There's hand tools, and that might be, for instance, what is a hand tool that you would use if you were building a house? Hammer, saw, drill, wrench, okay. Now you have another set of tools, and they are your power tools. What is the power tool when building a house? Sander, an electric. I would put the word electric. Sander or electric saw. A nail gun or an electric. It's electric. There's an added energy source. I'm going to read to you what is actually the definition of a power tool, because I think this is really kind of cool. A power tool is a tool that is activated by an additional power source and mechanisms other than that that are solely manual labor used by hand tools. When I looked this up, I saw the words activated, an additional power source. The words power source stood out to me. Other than solely manual, and the word man is in the manual. So when you're using a saw, and it's a regular saw, you're having to put forth your manual effort. Electric saw, you plug it in, it's like, pfft, like butter, right? You don't have to put the effort into it. So hand tools require the manual labor. The power tools have a power source. That's what we're going to talk about, this power source that allows them to operate automatically and without human intervention. So, would you like to know what your greatest power tool is? Okay. Anybody else want to know? Okay. The greatest power tool we have is the word. Is the word. I'm going to share with you, and why the word? Well, we're going to look at Don Miguel Ruiz's The Four Agreements. I'm going to share what he has to say, and this is what we're going to be studying together in small groups. Again, we do have those books available in our bookstore, so if you want to pick one up today. He says, under the first agreement, why your word? He says, your word is the power that you have to create. Your word is the gift that comes directly from God. In the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word is God. I want you to just take that in. The Word is God. Okay? The Word is God. Through the word, you express your creative power. It is through the word that you manifest everything. What you dream, what you feel, and what you really are will all be manifested through the word. So what is the word besides the word God? The word is not just a sound or a written symbol. The word is a force. It is the power you have to express, to communicate, to think, and thereby create the events in your life. The word is the most powerful tool, he says, you have as a human. He says, but like a sword with two edges, your word can create the most beautiful dream, or your word can destroy everything around you. One edge is the misuse of the word, which creates a living hell. The other edge is the impeccability of the word, which will only create beauty, love, and heaven on earth. Depending upon how it is used, the word can set you free, or it can enslave you even more than you know. Wow. That in itself, digest that. The word is our power energy. It is our power tool. We create all the time by our word. And the word, again, is not a series of letters that form an image of a thing. It is a force. It is a source. It is the power that is always manifesting, bringing in what it is that we are putting our time, attention, and focus on. So are we going to be careful with our word? Right? The word is actually, and he says this, the word is actually the vibration. It is vibrational. Our words are vibrational, always. And it's the vibration of what we believe. Okay? We're going to go into that a little bit more. How many of you have heard the law of attraction? Everybody, pretty much. What we think about, we bring about. Well, I believe the deeper law of attraction is the law of vibration. And how about even deeper still, it's actually the law of vibration, for me, is the law of reflection. Think about that. Everything in our world is a reflection of what's in here. That's the key of it all. Pam Grout, in her book E Squared, says, thought is creative. The thoughts you hold in your mind, both conscious and unconscious, key word, create what you see in your life. Every thought has a certain vibration. It boomerangs back to you according to its pitch, intensity, and depth of feeling. Your thoughts show up in your life in proportion to their constancy, intensity, and power. And I love Albert Einstein's quote, everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is physics, not philosophy. So, what is it that you believe? You want to know what you believe? Take a breath and think about your life. Our lives are actually a result of our beliefs. This can be really, really challenging because what if we are having a life experience that is painful, that is not to our liking, is not what we would like to have in our life? And to say, I created that mess, that terrible experience, that pain, that is not the purpose here. It is not about blame or shame. The purpose is to realize that I have something inside of me that is far greater than any situation, circumstance, or condition. It is greater than any fear, doubt, or worry that I have. There is a power inside of me that can recreate. See, I don't have to think about what I've created for today. I have to be impeccable on what are the seeds and words I'm using and my feelings and my energy today, because I'm the seeds I plant today, the seeds you plant today is what harvests tomorrow and in a week. So whatever's in the past, whatever's in the present, we have the power within to recreate, to choose something that we would really, really love. And sometimes we have subconscious beliefs. I've already spoke to that. One of the things that I do in spiritual counseling is I work with people to find out what is the unconscious or subconscious belief that I'm not aware of that is kind of in that blocking stage of having me have what I want. I have to identify those and bring them to the surface. Otherwise, I cannot choose something else. So I want you to breathe. I have a power within. I want you to say that. I have a power within to recreate by the power of my word anything I'd like to manifest. So you know that the word is your power tool. Would you like the operating manual on how to use that power tool? Because if you have a power tool and you don't know how to work it, that could be problematic. I want to be able to use my power tool of my word in a way that is optimal. Would you like that as well?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like that? Okay. I hear some yeses. How many of you have the five principles? How many of you have read part of this week? Good. One. If you want to change your life, this is 135 pages. This is called The Five Principles, The Guide to Practical Spirituality. If you want to know what unity is about, this is the book by Ellen Davenport. And two of my great teachers, Mary Morrissey and Bob Proctor, would probably give you the assignment. Read this book every day for the next 30 days or 40 days. Read some of it every day. Because you can read something and it's like, okay, and it slides right out the other side. I want to embody this book. If I lived by these five principles, my life would be not what it is now. I would recognize and know that God truly is all there is. It's not just words. I would know that I am a powerful being. I would know that every thought I think that is focused on is creating my experience. And I'm going to talk to you today about principle number four. And what is prayer? She goes back to the Book of John, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek logos is translated word in the Christian Bible, but it means so much more. The original definition of logos implies the conscious intent behind the spoken word. It connotes the creative power of the thought. In Webster's dictionary, logos is called divine wisdom manifest in the world. Divine wisdom manifest in the world. That's what Webster says about logos. Prayer is where spirit meets language. Of course, the universe does not need our words. It responds to our energetic vibration. I think I've heard that. Words resonate within us. We say them for our own sakes. They clarify our thoughts and our intentions. They are the voice by which we call forth what we want from the field of possibilities. When we speak consciously, we release our words as if shooting an arrow towards a target. We refrain from saying anything we don't want to see in our lives. Okay, that's a big assignment right there. I was thinking about things I didn't want this morning. I'm like, okay, I'm always doing this too. You know, we're on this path. I'm going, nah, cancel. What am I having? What am I imagining? What am I really choosing? Because I know that my energy around something I don't like or want is actually good for me because it shows me what I do, and that's where I want to put my time, my attention, my focus, and energy and vibration. This is what Jesus meant when he says, ask and it will be given. Asking is not begging or beseeching, as many of us were taught. It is focusing our thoughts, aiming our intentions. So when I thought that, I thought, instead of ask and it shall be given, how about aim and it will be given? Because actually the word ask in the Bible doesn't mean to, can I have that, please? Right? What it means is declare or claim. When I know who I am as a divine being, that every attribute of the divine is within me, that thing is already there. I like to say, prayer makes us aware when we declare what's already there. That's that verse that you all hear that says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. What that means is, it already exists. I need to open up to that. And it's my consciousness that I need to work with. She says, prayer is a time we take to focus, to align ourselves in oneness with the divine and affirm that whatever we need is already ours. This is affirmative prayer. Any of you ever feel like you didn't have answered prayer? Anyone? Okay. Yep. Let's talk about that. Many of us feel as if our prayers aren't answered. She says, in affirmative prayer, we are remembering that we are expressions of the eternal life on earth. We affirm our well-being, that our needs are filled, and there is no lack in the universe. Because the universe sees our vibration, senses our vibration, prayer is more than the words we utter between dear God and amen. Every thought, every feeling is a prayer. And the response is always yes. It's always yes. Even a no means there's a yes. Because it's no, that is not for your highest and greatest good. You ever pray for something and be really glad later that you didn't get what you thought you wanted? Because the divine within me knows better. It knows things. Like it knew Santa Fe was where I needed to be rather than Colorado Springs. And I'll talk about that in a minute. So her personal belief is that prayers are not really answered at all because every possibility already exists in the quantum field. This is the universal yes. We pull from the field of pure potential according to our vibration or focus. If prayer seems to go unanswered, it is not a decision by God to deny us what we want. It is one of two things. We are attracting from an unconscious, deeper desire, or we are blocking the answer that we want. Okay? Blocks are made of fear, doubt, and feelings of unworthiness. So we need to work with our thoughts, our prayers. Again, I would say the one thing I would want for every one of us is to have this book and to read it daily for at least 30 days. And if you want to do the biblical thing, do it for 40 days, right? Read this book. It's an easy read, but it's a deep read. This is the number one book if you really want to grasp and have it take hold of you. So in unity, you know, all prayer works, by the way. All prayer works because the prayer to me is when we recognize that there is a power and presence greater than ourselves. So unity does have prayer, and I'm going to break it down in real quick into five areas. First of all, relaxation. To relax, because when you're uptight, it's not good for the prayer thing. So take some deep breaths or center yourself in whatever that is, to relax. The next word that they use, and by the way, this is another book that if you really want to understand prayer, Unity Prayer, How to Pray Without Talking to God by Linda Martilowitzet. So after I'm relaxed, I want to see, concentrate. And what concentrate to me means that I focus. You know, I talked about focus last week. I focus on the attribute of the divine that I would like to have more of. I want more love, more peace, more harmony, more joy, more clarity, light, health. What aspect of the divine? So I focus my attention on that one word, because like I spoke of in the daily word, what's the word, the energy I'd like to have more of? Then the word is meditate. Now for me, what meditate means, to let go, to just be present to that word that I have been focusing on, to be in the silence. As Charles Fillmore said, go to headquarters. I don't do anything with it. I just let my focus on the word love or peace or whatever it is, be in the being without effort. Next, from that time of just being open, there's a realization That's when there's like an aha or something that comes into alignment in a higher voice within our minds. And the last part is appreciation. So I'm going to give you a quick example. When I was up in Fort Collins, my way of doing prayer is to go outside in the morning and to walk. When I'm walking, that's my relaxation. When I'm out walking, I'm in nature, I'm walking through a quiet neighborhood, and it's just, I'm present. I'm not thinking about anything, I'm just relaxed when I'm outside walking in a very quiet place, birds chirping and such. So I'm walking, and then I start thinking about what aspect of God do I want in my ministry? Okay, I want love, a ministry that's filled with love, a ministry that's filled with joy, freedom, harmony, abundance. This is, and I start thinking about my ministry. The ministry of God is all these things. The ministry of God is love, peace, joy, harmony. And then, so that was my concentration focus. Then I just walk quietly after I've been focusing on this. And then in that time, that's my quiet. I'm not thinking anymore. I'm just kind of letting that ride. And then Spirit says, and this is my realization, number four, I am the ministry of love. I am in the ministry of joy. I am the ministry of peace. I am the ministry of harmony. I am the ministry. It was no longer something that I wanted outside of me. I am the ministry of love, peace, joy. It's not something about the ministry I'll have someday. No, I am the thing that I would like to have as my outer experience. No, I am the thing itself. What was really interesting is that I applied at Unity Colorado Springs. I candidated there the first weekend in October. I candidated here 2 weeks after. They offered me a job while I was here candidating for this position. This was where I was meant to be because I am the ministry of love. It was going to be a match, whatever that outer. Not to say that Unity Colorado isn't a ministry of love, but what I was vibrating at could not happen. You are the ministry of love. You are the ministry of peace. We are the ministry of love and peace and harmony and joy. We have the power of our word, and to practice this, to read the five principles, to digest it, to practice that prayer that I just mentioned, will change your life. The prayer, your word, is your power tool. The word, be careful how you use the word. Use it well. Create the life that you can love living, because it's already there. Are you ready? Yes. Okay, so let's turn to prayer in our days to come and bring it on up, the prayer.